This is Will's Band of the Week for January 24th, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with internet celebrities Anurag from the Ontario Bureau, and Reese from the Portland Bureau.
Howdy.
So, I've decided you guys are internet celebrities.
That's cool. That's news to me, but that's exciting.
In this podcast, we're internet celebrities. Not like Bernie, right?
Right. That Bernie thing, that's crazy, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it kind of became a meme.
Yep.
I was late figuring that whole thing out by like 8 hours or so. And everybody started talking about it, and then suddenly everything I looked at had a Bernie sitting in a chair photoshopped into something. Yeah. Craig sent us an album cover from an old album by The Jam where they put Bernie in there. So, I mean, it's like everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of album covers recreated with Bernie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's funny that that's overshadowed Biden's reelection.
Yeah.
Bernie meme.
That's funny.
Well, yep. I think people are looking for something a little more frivolous to do that's not doesn't feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's good fun.
Yeah.
Some people are very skilled at that. Like, I don't even know how to do that, photoshopping and stuff. Reese, I assume you can do that.
Yes, I know. I know how to do the. I don't know what tool I'd use. I guess I'd just like cut it out. You can just like select it and. I'm sure now there's like
you just showed your age, man. It's so simple and straightforward.
Yeah,
I know I'm doing a bad job of explaining it, but it is simple. And I'm if you wanted to, Dad, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could make memes about Bernie.
The kids these days, they know how to do this stuff. Yeah, so I could just tell you, Reese, I need Bernie, and I need him in this scenario or whatever, and you could just in about 10 minutes, you'd send it to me, right?
Yeah. I'd be like, I need him in a barn or. Whatever. Send me 2 images and then I'll put them together for you.
You could put him in a Portland protest, maybe. Like, everybody is all excited and all riled up, and then Bernie's just kind of sitting there looking bored.
Yeah. I could put him next to the fence. That was a meme way back in the summer, was the fence outside the Justice Center. A Portland meme.
Well,
yeah, I'm not familiar with that one. Okay.
It's not very exciting. It's just a fence that everyone shook, and everyone was protesting at the Justice Center. So it was like, let's meet up at the fence. And I don't know how to explain it in a good way. But 3 people will listen, and they'll be like, ha ha, I get it.
Yeah, Portland reference. Well, we had Reese on because he's interested in discussing one of our selections. And I'm curious because when I listened to this, I thought, this might not be an Anurag thing. So we're going to find out what he has to say. But it's fun that the 2021 releases are finally starting to come out. And so we've got one this week. I've got a couple that I'm interested in possibly for next week. So good trend, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
2021 starting off right with new releases.
Yep.
Actually, come to think of it, this is the first 2021 album that I've listened to.
Same for me.
Yeah, maybe they're a little slow.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple other ones, but not quite as much as this one. So, yeah, we're going to call this the official first release of 2021 for us. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the band Shame with their second album called Drunk Tank Pink. The first album was 2 or 3 years ago, I think. And I remember listening to it just a little bit, but not a lot. I don't know if you guys did.
This is my first introduction to this band.
And I read a lot about this album, so the indie rock press got me to listen to it because, you know, it's described as post-punk or whatever, and then it gets comparisons to a lot of bands that I like. So I thought, why not listen? And I can't remember if I think I remember talking to Reese about it and thinking maybe he would like it. So so Reese, listen to it. And you must like it enough that you wanted to come on the podcast. Or you just like me and Anurag a lot. Maybe that's
only reason. It's all about Anurag. I just wanted to see.
I mean, to get that chance, to get that opportunity, it's the opportunity of a lifetime, really.
It is, yeah. I mean, internet celebrity Anurag, world famous. But yeah, it was the first time I heard of Shame, and then the first time I've listened to them, too. And now I've listened to the album, like, I think 3 or 4 times through. So I think it's fair to say I'm a fan of it, yeah.
I put it on, and I just wasn't sure about it. And but I just left it on in the background while I was doing some office-type work. And it was enough to make me come back to it. And so, like, the things that that I found kind of challenging about it, I overcame them and really grew to like it. So, well, why don't we give Reese the first pick? I know that's a lot of pressure. Oh, but
that is a lot of pressure. I was going to do either track 4 or 6, March Day or Snow Day. Let's do track 4.
All right.
March Day.
Shame from London.
Oh, they're from London.
Yep.
I didn't know that. Okay.
It makes sense when you know it and then you listen to them and then you're like, well, of course. But of course. There's a lot of things. It may not be obvious immediately, but then you know, I think the guy sounds like the singer for Art Brut sometimes. And maybe I'm just thinking, you know, the part talking, part singing. Sometimes he gets a little shouty, and I think that was kind of holding me back at the beginning. Sometimes, like, aggressive shouting vocals are not really my thing, but the guitar work is so good on this album, and then the whole vocals, just as I listen more, just fit in.
Yeah, when I listened to it, I said, okay, is this Will's way of crowd just packaging Protomartyr and just selling it to me.
Well, see, that was my thing. I thought, well, maybe there's a little, there might be a little Protomartyr in here, and this could be a problem for Anurag.
Like, what is he trying to do? But yeah, I actually like this album quite a bit. I was surprised by how much I liked it in the first listen itself. So good pick, Reese.
Yeah, thank you. It's very like, I feel like I've heard so many of the sounds before in different artists, but like never in this combination before, kind of. Like I want to, like there's a bit of guitars that are reminiscent of like Franz Ferdinand, maybe.
And oh, then, yeah.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Just fake palms, too. Also likes like the twingy, high-pitched stuff. And also, of course, Protomartyr. And yeah, it's a good album.
Anurag, how about a pick?
Okay, let's listen to number 5, Water in the Well. There's something in the hills. Well, I hear it lingers, and I've seen it kill. There's water in the well. See it flow down, it's flow down, it's flow down for you. For you. I tried to call you late last night. I heard you shit, but I gave you a bite.
So you're 2 minutes into that, and then something unexpected happens, right? Something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of this album, right? The I don't know, I find it kind of adventurous in a way that there are a lot of unexpected twists and turns, or slow parts, fast parts, and the whole thing is interesting and fun.
You're right if it wasn't for the guitar work, I probably wouldn't have given it this much attention. So it's really good, that guitar there. You're right about that, Will.
Yeah, the guitar player is really great. Maybe there are two guitar players. There are four piece, right? I think so. What if I got that wrong? That would be just an epic failure of music journalism.
Change Will's Band of the Week to a whole new title.
All right, so as I listen to this, and the sign of an album that you really like is that you can't decide which track to pick, right? Because there are at least three others that could easily highlight. I think I'll go with one kind of later in the album. And as I don't know, Reese, you can confirm this for me after we play it. You'll let me know if I picked it correctly. But I thought, I think Reese would like this one. I think maybe he's going to pick this one. But you didn't, so I'm going to take it. It's one of the faster ones. It's called 6-1. We'll be right back.
thing, and nothing prevented me. I need a sleep now. To a world that's not mine, that I'm fully far away, that I'm fully far away. As I talk to myself, you emerge in a pout. Then you slip through your hands. I don't care where I land, cause I love what I hate, and I hate what I
Wall of Guitars, right?
Yeah, that's a great track. That's definitely reminiscent of Fake Palms for me.
Yeah, I thought of Fake Palms when I heard that, and I thought, okay, Reese has to like this. The Wall of Guitars. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's Shame, and Drunk Tank Pink is the album.
Mm-hmm. So we're giving it two thumbs up?
I'm giving it a thumbs up for sure. Yeah,
give it two thumbs up.
The more I listen to it, the more I like it. So I'm not done listening to this. I think it's on its way up in my estimation as I listen more. So
number one 2021 album.
Yeah, so right now it's right now it's number one. Yep.
So the top of your list, right?
Can it hold off 10 other albums to remain in the top 10? That's what remains to
be
seen. Yeah, it's a big battle. So well. Reese, thanks for coming on. I think you were going to leave us to talk about the old stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so. What did you say you're going to talk about again? You said
We're going to talk about
Prince,
famous producer Phil Spector, and Prince. Yeah,
nice. Well,
a little preview for people.
Yeah, good luck with that convo, and thanks for having me on.
All right,
thank you, Reese.
You can listen later and be educated. It'll increase your music cred.
Yeah, it will.
All right, and I know you had some plans in Portland today. Have fun, and
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, talk to me later, okay?
I will. I hope I get to see you again on ROG.
Of course,
be on the podcast.
Bye, Reese.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Well, we previewed what we're going to talk about. And, yes. Of course, it's on the title of the podcast, so people know it anyway. So I wasn't giving up any surprises. But clearly, this is appropriate.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
If anybody should get the jingle, I think Phil Spector should get the jingle. Don't you think?
I am kind of ambivalent about this guy, so we'll get into that.
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If somebody were asked to name the most famous music producers, I guess maybe what? George Martin would be number one. I don't know, mm-hmm. just like off the top of your head. But Phil Spector would be like right up there, right? Like if you think music producer, you're gonna that name is gonna pop up. And yep. With good reason, I think. And I think it's good to talk about music producers because I think sometimes music production is underrated in terms of how much effect it has on the overall product of recorded music.
I bet there's like just to add to that thing that there's no denying the impact that he's had on pop music, the history that. Phil Spector. There's no denying that.
Right. And the other thing. Yeah, there's a little but there, isn't there? You know, so, you know, a lot of musicians, people in the music business, creative people are eccentric or oddballs or whatever. And this takes it about as far as you can take it, right? This guy was literally in prison for murder.
So, yes.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't be laughing, but.
I read the way he you know, emotionally and physically abused his wife and his kids. It was just insane, I think, especially what he did to his kids.
I didn't even read about that. Yeah, I don't think he probably didn't treat
any person
yeah, well at all, right? Yeah.
Nope.
I mean, he was just a terrible person.
Yeah.
So maybe we can separate the yeah. sound from the person.
Sure.
And well, it's funny because when I was playing that last track by Shame, I was thinking that's a wall of sound, right? It's a wall of mm-hmm. guitars. And there's a lot of music that I would have described as a wall of sound. But apparently that term actually was used to describe Phil Spector's production, wall of sound, just because there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
So
and I never knew that. I just found out yesterday that he's the one who actually is credited with that sound.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
But his wall of sound is a lot different than a guitar True. Wall of sound. But that's probably an apt description. So here's one of his most famous songs that he produced. It's You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin' by the Righteous Brothers.
You never close your eyes anymore.
Whoops, something happened there. If you can skip a digital file, somehow I did it. Okay, here we go.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, baby, I know it. You lost that love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling. You lost that love.
That's a classic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So most of his famous stuff is from the 60s. And then probably his...
also the 70s, right? He covered...
there was some stuff in the 70s.
Albums by George Harrison and John Lennon, right?
Right, right. That's true. That? Yeah. So, I guess he got famous in the 60s, but you're right. There's a lot of stuff from the 70s.
Yeah. Even the Let It Be, that was in the 70s, so...
And yeah. I didn't realize that until I went back and read about him this week. I didn't even remember that he had produced Let It Be.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound like a wall of sound, does it?
No, it doesn't. Unless you want to put in some songs from Let It Be. Like the last... I'm just trying to think which one would it be. Yeah, you're right. There's no wall of sound song in Let It Be. But that's how I actually know him, that he was a producer of Let It Be. That's the most famous one that I knew of. I did not know that he had done a lot of work with the Ronettes and work with the Crystals. And I
right.
never knew that. So, and I also found out just recently that he produced a lot of John Lennon's albums too. John Lennon and Plastic Ono.
Mm-hmm.
Band. I never knew that. So yeah, he had a lot of impact. Like, these are all very big albums. Like, people still swear by them even to this day.
Yep. Let's go back and play another Phil Spector classic, Be My Baby by the Ronettes.
Oh yeah, exactly.
course, we've talked on this podcast several times about the Be My Baby drum beat.
Exactly. So,
I don't know if Phil Spector gets credit for that, but the sound of it, you know, that orchestral sound is definitely a trademark of his production. Yeah. And here's another one that fits in that same category, which would be Then He Kissed Me by the Crystals. Everybody knows that song, right?
Of course, yep.
Maybe we should have kept Reese on and asked him if he knew that song, because he might not.
He probably heard some cover of it, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Something on TikTok. You should know that, Anuraga, since you're into TikTok now.
Oh, God, the story about TikTok. I've actually blocked it on my router. Becoming obsessed with that.
You blocked yourself?
Yeah, I blocked myself. I asked my daughter to put in a password and not tell me. So I blocked myself.
You have to be protected from yourself. Wow. There's one other Phil Spector thing that I think we should bring up, and we should have had Chris on for this, because when he produced the Ramones, that was quite an interesting turn for them. And I think in Chris's 2-hour podcast about the Ramones, or maybe it was longer than 2 hours, I think they weren't really big on the End of the Century album, which was the Ramones album produced by Phil Spector. I think I liked it a little more than they did. You know, the Ramones had put out a few albums that sounded very similar, and you could argue that that's just how the Ramones were supposed to sound, right? Mm-hmm. But I can kind of see, like, trying something a little different, and that's what they did. And, of course, I think they talked about how he was a terrible person and, you know, really annoying to work with. Held a gun to somebody's head or something. It's just ridiculous.
That'd be interesting to know, right? Like, how was he to work with? Yeah, he did all this work. Was he a good person to work with? Like, was he patient? But I don't know. Do you know anything about that?
Well, no, you just hear stories about him not being good to work with, which is not surprising. But then you wonder, I mean, somehow he got these albums done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I guess it's those people who are just emotionally not well are able to do such astounding work. He must fall in that category,
yeah,
I think.
Yep. Yeah. I guess so. Eccentric genius or whatever. Well, worse than eccentric. But yeah, so here's a little blip from the Ramones Phil Spector production. A song called Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio?
The All American Half Pound, Pure Beef Patty, Lettuce, Tomato. This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Let's go!
Well, there's a little piece of that. It's interesting to me that that sort of sounds more like Phil Spector than it sounds like the Ramones.
I was going to say, I don't like that song at all.
And I can understand that perspective of thinking it's terrible. There's something about it when that album came out, and like right where I was in life when that album came out, I had these friends who were huge Ramones fans, and they were so excited about this album coming out. And then I kind of got excited by association. I was just sort of starting to like the Ramones at that time. And then this album came out, and I don't know, there was something like I just was not able to dislike it just because, I don't know, it brought joy to people.
Yeah.
So even though it's
that's understandable,
an outlier in their catalog for sure. Yeah. Understandable. All right. Phil Spector.
Finally dead.
Yep.
Will not be loved by or missed by his children at all.
Yeah. I'm not going to go back and read what he did to his children because I can't imagine.
I accidentally did. And it wasn't pleasant at all.
I'm sure it's not going to be good. Yeah.
Nope.
So we won't even give him an RIP. We'll just say, goodbye, Phil.
Yeah.
All right. There's more excitement this week.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
It's got to be in here somewhere.
Oh my God, I can't believe I still got this.
Wow, when this came out, I was still in diapers, and David was already getting laid.
All right, we found it. We dug back into the vault. Anurag dug back into the vault, and he located his copy of the Prince Purple Rain album.
Mm-hmm. And that came out in 1984.
Yeah, and I can, you can start the discussion. I have some contextual comments about this one, too. About like,
okay. Yep.
Which
so
makes it interesting.
This is an album that made Prince Nelson, I forget his full name now. Good Lord. What was his full name?
Would be Prince Charles Nelson?
Knew it was. Okay, whatever. I can't believe I forgot his full name.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, everybody just Google it. So this is the one that made him a superstar, essentially. This is his quote-unquote Thriller album. This is his quote-unquote Let It Be or his Abbey Road album. And coincidentally, this was the first album I heard from Prince. And like I've explained a number of times, that in India it was very difficult to come across music, new music. And we would just rely on whatever our cousins or our friends who were returning from foreign lands who would get some cassettes. That's what we were dependent on mostly. But this one, I remember there was a record store and he would somehow bring in these albums which are not officially released in India. And one of them that he introduced me was to this one, Prince. And he said, oh, you'll really like it. It's nice. And by the time I had started hearing about Prince in the magazines and whatnot. And just as in a context, at that time, Wham was doing really big in India, and everywhere I went, Wham, George Michael and his friend Andrew something, they were everywhere. And I, as much as I love George Michael now, at that point I hated him. I disliked every music from Wham. And then when I listened to this album, this is like polar opposite of what was pop music back then. Pop music back then was simple, straightforward, and this one just blew me away. And then I just completely and utterly fell in love with Prince, and more so because my friends used to hate him. So it became kind of a proud thing for me to, a badge for me to carry around that, see, I'm the only one in my small hometown who likes Prince so much. And so, yeah, that was my introduction to this album. And then, of course, he came out with other albums, which were also so amazing. And then I finally got my hands on his 1999 album and his previous work. And boy, ever since, it's just this album just blows me away every time I listen to it. And yep, so those are my thoughts. What about you?
Well, this album is credited to Prince and the Revolution. And I was reading that it's
right.
The first album that is actually sort of a full band album where there were actually contributions from the other band members and it's not just a Prince solo album. And of course, it's a soundtrack for a movie, too. So I'm assuming you saw the movie.
Yes, I saw the movie, too, to the annoyance of my dad, because I would be playing it all the time. And he was pissed.
Well, let's play a track and then we can talk more about it.
Sure. Oh, you want me to pick?
Yes.
Okay, my favorite track from this album is When Doves Cry.
Doves Cry. Yeah, you stole my pick.
Prince Rogers Nelson, sorry.
Yeah, it's Prince Rogers Nelson.
Yeah, I stole your what? Oh, I stole your pick?
Yeah, that's my pick for sure. That is the absolute classic, probably.
And this song has no bass in it.
I was just going to say that. Interesting that you made that note. Right, that's always been one of my observations that I just think is really cool about the song is that the only bass in there is like little blips of percussion,
yep.
But there's no traditional, yep. there's no bass guitar. And there's not like a synth bass line or anything.
The song ends in that guitar work that he did. Oh my God, he was such a good guitarist. Everybody seems to forget that. He was just amazing at guitar.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. So here's the context. I was living in Minneapolis when this came out, and Prince was he had been a local celebrity for a while, and then he became a worldwide celebrity. And we used to joke about Prince sightings. One year I was living in an apartment building, and one of our neighbors in the building worked as a bartender downtown, and one time she told us, last night, Prince came in, like, you know, late at night. It's probably like bar time, like 2 a.m, and Prince shows up. So, just thinking back on those times. And I used to go see bands all the time at that venue, First Avenue, where the Purple Rain movie was made. And okay. That place is still open. And I haven't been there in, over 30 years probably. But I'm going to go back. That's one of my things. When COVID is done, my sister lives up there. I'm going to go up there, and we're going to go see a band at First Avenue, and it's going to be cool. It's a really great venue. And then they have there's the big room that holds about 1,000 people, so it's still pretty small. And then there's an attached venue they call the 7th Street Entry, and that's got maybe about a 250-person capacity, and that's where, you know, obviously the lesser known, and that's what, like, the Replacements used to play there a lot. So there's my Minneapolis music trivia. And my nostalgia
So you lived there. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went to school there for 3 years. And yeah.
Wow.
So what are we going to play next? Since you stole my pick.
Go ahead.
I think you gotta go back to Let's Go Crazy, right? I mean, it's kind of...
Dearly Beloved.
It's kind of iconic, if that's the right word. Let's play it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Dr. Everything will be alright. Instead of asking them how much of your time is left, ask them how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down, take a look around. At least you got friends. I call my old lady, more friendly word. She picked up the phone, dropped it on the floor. That's all I heard. I'm not gonna let the elevator break us down. Oh no, let's go. Let's go crazy. Let's get nuts. Let's look for the purpose.
Did you see this covered at Super Bowl when he did that? I forget which one.
I think I did, yeah.
And it started raining, and he just still kept singing, and it was, holy cow, yeah, that gives me chills. I still watch that every now and then.
Pretty great. Here's another little trivia thing. You know that sound? There's a percussion sound mm-hmm. that he uses a lot on this album. It's kind of a crunchy sound. And I've accidentally stumbled upon how he made that sound with my own experimentation with a drum machine. It is a rim shot slowed down. So anybody at home, if you want to make that sound, record a rim shot or find a recording of it, slow it down. And you're like, hey, that's the Prince sound.
He used to that quite a bit in this record too, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's like prominently featured in When Doves Cry also.
Yes.
Well, let's play another track.
Sure.
It's back to you.
Let's play the number two, Take Me With You.
We'll be right back.
I'm glad you picked that track.
I was going to say, this song he sang with that woman that he starred with in the movie, Purple Rain. I forget, Apollonia?
Apollonia. Yeah.
Yeah. So she sang on this song as well. Yeah. So that's a little bit of trivia that I found out recently.
Here's one. Maybe this is going to be a failure of music journalism, but did he produce this, or was there an outside producer?
I think he produced it.
Yeah, I kind of think so too.
He wrote, produced, played.
Because the production on that is
Revolutions as well in the production, if I remember.
Well, I was just going to say the production on this is really great, right?
Yeah.
Just listening to it in a good set of headphones, as we just did. Take that, Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Although the accompanying movie, I would not recommend it to anybody. It was really bad. Although I loved it at that time.
There was something, I haven't watched it recently. I watched it way back then. But there was something about it that just sort of drew me in. You know, maybe it was kind of corny or whatever, but I liked it. And I think maybe it was fun seeing the scenes of First Avenue, which I was familiar with. So it's kind of fun to see a movie that's filmed on location at a place you're familiar with.
I think just when the lockdown had started, I just kind of rewatched it. And I just kept asking myself, oh my God, why did I love this movie so much?
Here's the question. Did you get your daughter to watch it?
No.
Have you ever done that?
She does not like Prince.
Have you ever had an old, like an old movie where you, or maybe just an old album or anything where you're like, hey, you got to hear this. And then you go back and, in the case of a movie, I remember watching Spinal Tap with one of my kids. And I'm like, I'm not sure if this still would be funny at all to somebody now. It was really funny to me then,
That's a classic movie. Who wouldn't like it?
Yeah.
Although I know for a fact my daughter won't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny in the context of the whole like heavy metal scene with roadies and all that stuff. But maybe if you're not sort of schooled in that, you don't know why it's funny, Anyway, I don't know. I wonder if I watched this now, if I would think that it did not age well, or like I might have a reaction you did.
It does not.
Yeah.
Don't bother. Just stick to the music.
All right. We're not endorsing the movie, I guess.
No, not the movie. So, album, totally.
All right. Well, we are under an hour, but I think it was bang for your buck kind of today.
Yes.
Bang for your $0, for your greater than $0.
Yes.
So, I think we can call it a podcast. But thanks for, again, Anurag, being available. We're not only do we have a lack of new releases, but we have kind of, I think it's like continuation of 2020 malaise.
That's true.
There's less availability and enthusiasm of the other some of the other correspondents, but we'll get everybody back in time.
I think once the releases start, that then everybody starts getting excited too, right?
Yeah, I think so, because like we were saying, this is the Shame album was the first 2021 album that we had listened to. So great,
just give another week or so, I'm sure we'll come up with something.
And in the meantime,
I'm available.
You're the primary correspondent now, Anurag, as long as somebody's gonna have to unseat you. it's like when the star quarterback goes down and then the second string quarterback comes in and he's so good that you don't know if you can give the other guy his job back. So it's kind of like
you got to get Barrett back.
Yeah, we're working on that. Yeah, well, he said he hasn't listened to anything new in quite a while.
No.
So hopefully that'll change in a reasonable time. Yep. All right. Well, thank you. Before we lose the listeners with really boring banter, we should probably sign off. So
absolutely.
Let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.